college football. Again, all these things, the calendar is set up weird, I'm telling y'all. I believe Dennis Cox and I calculated one time it was 2025 may be the perfect year where, like, 4th of July falls either on a Friday or a Monday. Halloween falls on a Friday. Just everything sets up right. Christmas is on a good day. New Year's on a good day. All those things. 4th of July on a Tuesday ends up really wonky because we're still in June. And, like, tomorrow, if people will start celebrating 4th of July.
Right.
Like, fireworks will start tomorrow night.
And it's still June.
They'll call it 4th of July fireworks.
Right.
Because you got to get them in sometime between the weekend of 4th of July and 4th of July. The other thing is, right now it seems ridiculous to talk about college football. But, like, 3 days from now, when it's July 1st, it's like, whoa.
Wait a second.
College football. We're putting on pads this month.
Right around the corner.
So, to warm us up and to remind us of how close to college football we already are, we'd have over-under win totals for teams already out there. So you don't even have to worry about how team you're good is. Vegas already knows, and nobody knows Vegas better than Josh Goodson. Josh, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. When I think of 4th of July, it usually starts with the Tour de France gets started. So I thought I was coming on to talk about cycling getting kicked off on Saturday, but I guess not.
You are not here for a Tour de France preview, although if you really, really, really want to give me a favorite, I will take one. I'll take a Tour de France pick from you.
You got to look at the climbers. You always have to start with the climbers when it comes to the Tour de France. I'd either go with Pogacar or a Jonas Vingegaard who won it last year. One of those two guys is probably going to win it.
There's like four rides. People listening who are like, yes, finally, Tour de France talk. We get it. All right, did you come fully prepared? Do you have all the FBS teams in the state? And I'm including Charlotte in that as well. You got them all, the over-under win totals for
them? I do have everybody, including, can we start here? Can we start with the best program in the state of North Carolina?
He must be going up to Boone, North Carolina for the Appalachian State Mountaineers. Andrew Carter coming on the show later today. We'll ask him about it.
We won't get too much into their schedule, but I'm worried if the best program in the state of North Carolina, something must be going up there on the mountain because their win total is only 6.5.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Now, I am looking at their schedule. UNC, ECU coming off a good season. Coastal Carolina's been good recently. Southern Miss, James Madison.
Well,
yeah.
Something's going on if the best program in the state of North Carolina's win total is only 6.5. All jokes aside, like when I saw that as an Appalachian State win total over, I'm like, are they supposed to be bad? Like, are they starting all freshmen? I don't really get it, because usually App State is a very good program, and I feel like they win 9 games every year, but like before the season even starts.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be 9-something, and maybe they'll win another game or two after that.
Yeah, it feels like without even looking at the schedule or their roster or any preview of them, you'd look at 6.5 and be like, I'll take my chances with that over on App State, 100%.
Right.
And in fact, I'll go ahead and do that. And I'll go ahead and lay this prediction down because that'll be part of it. They will beat either UNC or ECU. How about that?
Yeah, that's easy. I don't think you're going out on a crazy limb with saying that, personally.
All right, where do you want to go next? These are win totals in Vegas for the North Carolina college football programs.
As an NC State fan, what has been the biggest thing at State fans, I guess? I mean, I know we can have a whole show of what is the biggest thing NC State fans have complained about over the last forever. I get that.
I wouldn't even know where to start guessing.
We're having a time haze. I know. I get it.
Officials.
If I asked, just in general,
Swaffer,
in regards to the college football landscape over the last decade or so, especially pertaining to the ACC, what has kind of been one thing that NC State fans have like not been happy with for the most part?
Oh, divisions, having to play Clemson and Florida State every year and Louisville and whatnot?
So I want to start with Duke's over-under win total. Because, baby, they got all the Atlantic teams without getting to play the easy Atlantic team. Their schedule, so we'll start off with Duke. Their over-under number 6.5. And Vegas is good about giving you a little bit of a sign sometimes on which way you should lean. Vegas is implying that if you go over, you're actually going to win plus money, meaning
sure.
them winning seven games or more is not the quote-unquote likely outcome,
right?
You know, compared to winning six games or less.
It's six and a half leaning towards six.
Correct, exactly.
Based on what Vegas is telling you.
Their non-conference is kind of, you know, it's the usual Duke non-conference, like, not great. Like, Northwestern, whatever, and like, some other bad teams. Unless, I guess, technically, we count Notre Dame as a non-conference game. So they get Notre Dame as a non-conference game. That's going to be tough. And when we get back to the – they're playing the Atlantic schedule and not the easy teams. They miss out on BC and Syracuse. They get Clemson. They get Florida State. They get Louisville, who's supposed to be pretty good. They get NC State. They get Wake Forest, and then their usual UNC game at the end. Like, that schedule's pretty brutal.
Yeah, especially if wasn't Connecticut randomly good last year?
It's funny. NC State,
the state plays them
Connecticut,
too.
And then obviously Duke plays them later in the year. Connecticut, I think, started out really bad, but I think they won enough games to maybe even make a bowl. So I would imagine they'll be a little bit more feisty this year, you know, than just, you know, counting that as a win.
Is Connecticut just trying to schedule a bunch of ACC teams and then just, like, claim squatter's rights? Be like, hey, we're in here like Notre Dame, too, y'all. We're just can we play y'all in back? Yeah, we're in here.
Might be, or I'm pretty sure it has to do with, like, State's going up there this year, and I'm pretty sure UConn will be back here at some point, probably like a two-for-one type special where, you know, State goes up there once. But, no, I mean, it's funny when you look at Connecticut's schedule because it's essentially – I think they actually technically play as an independent, so they have to go find teams to play.
That's what I mean, but they're just going to try and just shoehorn their way into the ACC by playing all of our teams.
But Duke's number, I am going to be fascinated, and I need Duke to just have the pain that NC State has had over the last decade. Like, I need them to have the – maybe you play good against Florida State, but it's not good enough and you lose by, like, a touchdown. And then you have to go play Clemson the next week and lose by 50 or something like that. I need to see it. I need to feel it. I need to feel validated. I think I'm going to be validated. But Duke was interesting at 6.5.
All right. Good.
Over to NC State, they're at 6.5. On the flip side, they are heavily juiced to the over. So Vegas is thinking, they've set the number at 6.5, but if you bet them to take the over, you're not going to get, you know, the full money back type scenario. It's like minus 145, which is a pretty healthy juice to the over when it comes to, like, a win total. NC State schedule is kind of weird. They go to Connecticut. Everyone knows they open with Connecticut on a Thursday night. I actually booked flights to that game today, Dave.
Oh, my God. Stop.
I know, but hear me out. I'm never going to probably want to go to a Connecticut game again. Fair. That's one thing. They moved it up from Saturday Labor Day to Thursday Labor Day, so I'm taking a flight back at 6 a.m. the Friday after to still make the beach by noon.
Okay. All right. Respect. That's a pro.
Labor Day weekend.
That's a pro football fan move right there on Labor Day weekend.
For Labor Day weekend. But what's interesting about going to the Connecticut game, after that game, NC State does not go further than 3 hours away from Raleigh for any other game.
Wow, that's a great observation.
They've got their seven home games. And their home slate is actually great. Like, this is the year, if you have tickets, even if, like, the team's not that great and, you know, maybe they're just, like, you know, average team, you're going to see Notre Dame come into Raleigh. You're going to see Clemson come into Raleigh. Miami, Louisville's supposed to be pretty good. And UNC's coming. They're all coming to Raleigh. Their road games after the Connecticut game at Duke, at Wake, and then the two Virginia schools. So I'm kind of looking at it, I'm going to go to UConn because I could potentially go to all the games, but you can't go to all the games, Hayes, if you don't go to the first
game.
That's right.
You got to start, kick it off there. And it's amazing how many of the same opponents Duke and NC State have, because they both have Notre Dame and Connecticut. That's two non-conference. They both have UNC, Wake, Louisville, and Clemson. That's one, two, three. They have, like, more than half their schedule of the exact same. It's kind of interesting.
And I'm sure Duke plays one of the Virginia schools as well. NC State draws both of them this year. But
yep.
There's a There's a pretty interesting the 6.5 number is kind of like a. I have a group text with buddies, and we're talking about, you know, where are we going to be at? And I'm like, well, like, they're probably going to go 8-4 because that's literally what they've done, like, 5 out of the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like that, then, you know, taking the over might not be a bad play. Where do you want to go next? You steer the ship.
Let's complete the triangle since we did State and Duke. Where you got UNC?
Yeah, their number's 8.5.
Ooh.
Which... I know Drake May is, probably the best quarterback returning in college football, right?
Yeah, either maybe him, like, or the USC guy. What is it, Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
One of them,
yeah,
too.
I mean, he's going to be good. I mean, he's losing his offensive coordinator. Longo's gone at UNC, but you would think that he's a talent, and you're still playing in the ACC for the most part, so he's probably going to be, you know, the best player on the field in 75% of the games that they play. 8.5 is their number, but I look at that, and this isn't like trying to say like, oh, like there's no way they win 9 games. But you kind of talked about one of the games. They have at Clemson, at NC State. They got South Carolina neutral on a neutral site, and then they got Appalachian State coming to Chapel Hill.
Yep.
I'm not going to sit here and imply saying they are going to go 0-4 in those games. If they went 0-4 in those games, would that really surprise you? And the reality is like they're probably not going to go 0-4 in those, but they'll probably lose another game that me and you are talking about right now.
I mean, I'm looking at their first 4 games, South Carolina, App State, Minnesota, Pitt.
Yeah.
And, like, you'd love to go 3-1 in those and feel good, but it ain't going to be easy to go 3-1 in that first 4. I mean, it's most likely going to be 2-2 in that first 4, right? But it's more easy. It's like easier to see 1-3 than 3-1 almost, you know?
Sure.
No powerhouses in there, but definitely 4 teams that could beat you. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, they looked pretty good. Like, you don't know what Minnesota could be, an 8 or 9 win bowl team or a 3 or 4 win team. Same with South Carolina, but let's assume they're going to be SEC worthy. And then Pitt's probably a 6, 7, or 8 win team. I don't know if you've heard this, but Pitt usually has a pretty good defense.
So
8.5 does seem like a lot. If you're going to tell me, I'm going to give the Heels Campbell as a win. And maybe, I don't even
Virginia,
know.
Virginia, I think Virginia is going to stink this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to beat Virginia.
They should beat Syracuse at home.
This is not the State fan lens coming out. Like, I look at their schedule and I'm like, God, can I get to 9-3?
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's tough.
You could, like, but if not, that's not a certainty. Like, I would feel way more certain about 8-4 or 7-5 or, you know, so on and so on. Thus, you know, if you're asking me today, take the under, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, their schedule's just hard enough, and they play teams, they play enough good teams as you're talking about that they don't have really any, you know, cupcakes anywhere on the schedule minus maybe 2 weeks this year.
All right, what's Wake Forest at? Please tell me it's like 4.5, like totally disrespecting Wake Forest. Who's
Wake at 6, right in the middle. Wake's a pretty interesting schedule. They've got State.
Let me guess, they play Vanderbilt.
They're also one of the few schools in the ACC that drew Clemson and Florida State. Which, you know, if you buy into the Florida State hype this year, that, you know, they're going to be formidable. And then they also have to play Notre Dame. Let me ask you a question, Hayes. Do you think, or two things when it comes to like picking games or if you're looking at schedules, do you care, would you rather, if you're a team like NC State or Wake Forest or UNC, I think it's safe to say that those teams are all kind of, for the most part, been the same team for the last decade as far as, like, results and such.
Sure.
Would you rather have your harder games at home or your harder games, the ones you're probably going to lose anyways, on the road and vice versa?
Good question.
Do you think that matters?
I see what you're posing of, like, if might as well get the 50-50.
Like, NC State's schedule this year is probably the example that I'm like, all of their hard games as we sit here today on June the 29th are at home. Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, North Carolina, Louisville. All of their, you know, and that is not to say that their easy games are on the road, because no one's going to say going to Duke is an easy game or going to Wake is an easy game. But they are like the perfect example of all their hardest contests as we sit here right now on paper are going to be at home. And I just, I don't know. I kind of lean of the, you'd rather maybe play your hardest ones at home because you got the crowd effect and such. Or
yeah. Better chance. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. And then finally, ECU. What are they? I have no idea what ECU football is going to like this year. I know that Holt Naylors is not the quarterback for the first time in a decade.
ECU is at 5.5 for their over-under.
Vegas misses Holton. They miss Holton.
They do miss Holton. The over is actually a little juice, so that this is Vegas basically saying it would be a little bit of a surprise if ECU were to make a bowl, which I guess I don't disagree. I mean, if ECU is obviously in that weird camp of you kind of have to schedule aggressive from a non-conference standpoint, you know, for home game purposes, right, to have good teams come to Greenville,
yeah,
and such, and you know, for the fan base. But this year they open up at Michigan.
I mean, what? We don't have a history of North Carolina teams at Michigan?
Yeah, okay, sure. They're going to be like, they're like 35-point underdogs in that game.
Shouldn't be. Michigan should be underdogs.
Well, they should be. East Carolina's got them. They got Appalachian State. They got Marshall. I mean, I would say that, as you know, if you're looking at just strictly a non-conference, that's not an easy stretch.
Yeah.
Just from a non-conference, and then I guess they play their normal American Athletic schedule, which will be a little interesting this year because there's no longer Cincinnati, no longer UCF, because those teams are now in the Big 12. So it'll be interesting to see what the Pirates do.
All right, final question for you. That is how Vegas feels about your college football team this fall. A lot of 5, 6, and 7s in there. 5, 6, and then UNC at 8 seems a little high. That alone is like, on an average year, if you said, give me the team that Vegas has the highest win total for in North Carolina, I'll take the under on them and the over on, you know, the three middle teams. You'd probably work out pretty decently. Let me ask you this. Last night, there was a so-called perfect game in baseball. He threw 90, shoot, I had it in front of me earlier. I think it was 97 pitches and 72 of them were strikes. Is that a perfect game?
I'm usually a naysayer on anything that's like cool in sports. I try to find ways to say they're not cool. I didn't realize that this was only like the 24th in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
I feel like for whatever reason, I felt like perfect games were like national IPA days. Like they happen like 6 days a year.
You thought they were like hat tricks?
Yeah. Like, oh, I know they're cool, but like, I feel like it happens like 3 times a year at least. And why are we making a big deal out of it? But I actually did a little research. I went and looked at it, and no, it's a perfect game. I would actually think the most perfect game would be just a game with 27 pitches.
No, see, it can't be 27 pitches because then
you're being efficient.
No.
Getting out. Throwing the ball, getting out.
Absolutely not. If a batter doesn't swing and you throw a perfect pitch, like a strike, then that's not your fault. It cannot be 27 pitches.
I'm making the rule, Paige. We're doing the thing where we're making what it should be.
No, it just has to be. It just has to be no balls. It's not perfect if you throw a ball. You have to throw all strikes. That's what I'm claiming.
You have to throw all strikes. Okay, so 27 strikes. That's fine. That's cool. Like 27 strikes that get hit, and there's 27 out.
But no, they're not all going to get hit. If the batter doesn't swing, that's not your fault. No, absolutely not. You got your shibumi warmed up, or are you grilling for 4th of July? Will you be on the beach or at home?
I'll be in Wendell.
All right.
Actually, America.
Are you grilling for everyone else?
No, I'm not. I have not touched the grill in like 8 months.
God, what are you? What are you doing?
I know. I'm going through a really bad phase of just eating out all the time. It's really bad.
All right. Well, fix that. The 4th of July week, it's a great time. Fire up that grill, buddy.
For sure. Well, I'll do that while I'm watching the Peloton go through the Pyrenees next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Stop. Enjoy the Tour de France.